One of the questions I'm asking you this morning is, do you believe Lucky Montana? The former PRASA CEO alleges that perhaps the real reason for CADA deployment is to funnel money to the ANC. Once you're in charge, he says, you're expected to help the party out. Quid pro quo, nothing for Mahala. We are joined now by Chartered Director and Facilitator at the Institute for of Directors in South Africa, Dr. Simo Lushaba, to talk about this. Dr. Lushaba, good morning to you and welcome to our program.
Good morning, Bongani. Good morning to the listeners.
Having listened, thank you for coming on. Listen, having listened to President Ramaphosa in his capacity as the president of the ANC, can there still be a justification, a defense for CADA deployment as a policy?
Yeah, it's very unfortunate because the CADA deployment actually creates a problem from a governance perspective in that you've got people that are brought in by a very powerful structure that is chaired by the deputy president. They therefore come into the organization with power from those that deployed them, which makes it very difficult for boards to actually hold them accountable. And there is this risk, which I think Lucky Montana was actually bringing our attention to, that they then come to execute agendas of those that deployed them. And that then cannot be in the best interest of the organization, which is the essence of good governance in an organization.
I want you to have a listen to what the president had to say last week, outlining exactly how CADA deployment works. And he almost said this if I'm putting it strongly, without even blushing. Have a listen.
Ministers come to the deployment committee, having gone through a process, a pre-selection process themselves, and their various either officials or committees embedded in their own ministry, where they sift through a number of, say, possible names. And when they come, they seek to convince the deployment committee about certain candidates who may be shortlisted. So in the end, quite often, it's not even at the instance of the deployment committee. It is at the instance of the minister, who knows and should know the skills, the experience that are fit for purpose for the task that they manage or they run in the ministry. So they would know, for instance, CEO of an entity, what the requirements are. So they, and the deployment committee does not know in full. So they come to the deployment committee and seek to convince the deployment committee and even put up a pitted, not fight, but argumentation of why the persons that they may want to see appointed should be recommended by the deployment committee.
Dr. Lushaba, did you not find that to be an extraordinary admission by the president?
It definitely is. And honestly, I'm not so sure the president actually did justice to the justification itself. Because even prior to what he was saying in the script that you just played, he talked about the fact that the deployment committee recommends names to the minister that need to be put through the process. Now, that is a very unfair approach because you now have the deployment committee that purportedly exercises oversight, because the minister, why would the minister go to the deployment committee to justify the decisions, and then he still has to go to cabinet, first of all. Secondly, the deployment committee sits outside of government.
Yeah,
it's not a structure of government. It therefore cannot be held accountable by parliament, and the process is not transparent. And it's different to what we see, for instance, happening in the Judicial Services Commission, where the commission sits and interviews the potential candidates, and it's done in a transparent manner where everybody can see what are the considerations, what are the questions before it recommends. Now, the deployment committee recommends some of the candidates, and the minister must then come back and justify who they want. And that all happens behind closed doors. Nobody knows what happens. It cannot actually be a good system of developing trust and confidence of stakeholders in the entire process. And good governance is about that. And therefore, for me, it actually was quite surprising. There's also other things that the president said. For instance, when asked about certain candidates, the president then said, no, those did not come through the deployment committee. It bypassed the deployment committee. And then you wonder, what then did the deployment committee do about that?
And also, as you point out, to whom are they accountable? What happens when they get it wrong? But more than anything else, I think what we all should be worried about is that it operates in the shadows. It operates without the public knowing exactly how these decisions are made. And when they are made, how do the deployed cadres say no to those to whom they are beholden? Dr. Simo Lushaba, I appreciate your time, Chartered Director and Facilitator at the Institute of Directors in South Africa.